Welcome to the Danny Carlson Podcast, your resource for growing the business and mindset for a life of unrestricted freedom. Now here's your host, online marketing acrobat, Danny Carlson.
What's up, guys? Danny Carlson here, and this is the Danny Carlson Podcast, and I'm really excited to dive into this one because we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff that I personally am super passionate about, and this is someone who has really intentionally built his life around a lot of these things that I have been building my life around in a lot of different ways as well. And I think we're going to go in a lot of really interesting places in this one, from the sounds of it. We have a lot of things in common, not just on the side of, you know, how do you build your career and your work around the lifestyle you want to live, but also in relationships and kind of how that all ties together. So I think a good place to start is the lifestyle that you're currently living. How intentional was that to piece together? Like, did you just have a vision of like, I just want to, you know, live in a tropical place and I want to meet all these interesting people, and then it just kind of fell into place? Or did you have a specific method, like method of going about it step by step? How did that all kind of come together?
So that's an interesting place to start, because if you would have asked me that question, let's say 7 years ago, I remember I had this blog and I actually wrote an article why I don't do any goal setting. I'm like, why set up goals when it can restrict my freedom? Like, I don't know what can happen in my life. I don't want to take away any kind of serendipitous opportunity and kind of block it off because I set a goal in a different direction. And so I was a pro no goal. And now if you fast forward to today, I have to say that it was probably more of a case of being very lazy. I changed that around where I actually started to go on the opposite direction, where I'm actually very intentional about every goal in my life. And that doesn't mean that I had, as clear as you painted it, a vision of like being in Bali, living with these amazing people, connecting, lifestyle. I didn't necessarily have a concrete idea of this particular vision. But what I did have is actually kind of a division of 12 categories in my life, such as like my health and fitness, my emotions, what did I want to do in a career, how did I want my finances to look like. And I also had a life vision and quality of life that I wanted to have. And I've painted pictures of what that would look like in the next 10 years. And I can't say I was crystal clear on saying I'm going to be in Bali at this time doing these things. But I did set very aggressive, bold visions of something that I wanted to achieve in life. And I saw that coming here was a next logical step that got me closer to that ultimate vision. But I have to admit, I don't know if I'll ever hit that vision, because the more that I move forward, the more I kind of make it bigger, and it just becomes a North Star that I'm always chasing. And the journey towards that chase has just been an amazing series of serendipitous opportunities, amazing kind of coincidences that happen. Because the reason I'm actually here is just I moved back to Kuala Lumpur, where the head office of where I work is, and I went there with my girlfriend who just spent a couple of days there, and she's a very intuitive person. She spends a couple days there and she's like, this place doesn't feel right. We're both having crazy allergies. It's almost like the universe is sending us signs to not be there. And she's like, I think we need to go to Bali. And she actually plays with like oracle cards. She pulls a card, says new life. She's like, I'm booking a flight tomorrow. And then I decided to follow. And since I've been here, business has been going well. Lifestyle has been amazing. And now is a combination of having that goal for a great, beautiful vision and kind of trusting the impulses. So I get the best of what I thought was 7 years ago, and also being pulled by the vision I have today.
Yeah, I really agree on you. I think people can go to either extreme a little bit too much with that. Just like really trusting in the universe to just take you wherever you want to go to achieve what you want. And then on the flip side, just being way too rigid with the goals that you set for yourself. And if you go off that track of achieving your goals, then you fight so hard to bring it back on that track when maybe that's not the best option for you, right? So I'm wondering, what kind of frameworks do you personally have to, one, really identify the actual goals that you want to achieve and make sure you're on track, but still leave yourself open for that serendipity? Because just booking a flight and moving to Bali just because your girlfriend pulled an oracle card is, you know, that's not something that someone does if they have a super rigid plan, right?
That's true. So what happens is, the way that I've designed my lifestyle, I know one of the big values I have is freedom. And so in the process, I have been someone that lives quite minimalist, and I've also designed my work that it can be remote friendly. I'm someone that loves automating and delegating a lot of the work I do. And that way it was really easy for me to book a flight because I didn't have necessarily any attachments. And coming to Bali, given that the office is in Kuala Lumpur, it's a 3-hour flight. I'm like, I can fly to the office when I need to. But when I use the system, I mean, I don't want to be here teaching about a system that I use, because I paid for a framework that's a product that I use called Lifebook. And all I would say to people is just, if you know what your beliefs are, if you have a clear vision for what you want, and then you actually understand why that vision is important to you, then you can start putting together the right strategies for that area of your life. And a kind of a word of caution that I've personally experienced is that I remember setting up those rigid goals. Like one of them was, I wanted to buy a house. I was like, I want to buy a piece of real estate, buy a lake. I want to have like the motorcycle. I want to have the jet ski. And I realized as I was doing more research into that direction that I started feeling the resistance that, hey, that's not what I want. So as much as I have a system that gives me a lot of solid goals to go for, it makes me go and experience those goals very quickly and go on a discovery, as opposed to being just in a wishy-washy hopeful mood about it. I was like, okay, what does it take for me to have a house there? I contacted realtors. I started getting listings. I started looking at what's the monthly payments. What was involved in owning a house, let's say in Canada, which is where I wanted to buy. And then because I went on that journey, I could quickly pinpoint that that is not what I want. And so what I would just give as a framework is, if you set a rigid goal, you take away the hesitation or the wishy-washiness of it, and you start immediately going into action where you actually will discover if that goal is right for you or not. But again, you learn so much in the journey, so all the goals are good.
Yeah. Well, and listeners of the podcast will know my story with longboarding. I set the goal, I was a downhill skateboard racer for 10 years, and I wanted to be a pro longboard racer more than anything else, and I worked so hard at doing it. And then I finally reached a point where I could make a full-time living off of longboarding and making longboarding videos and traveling and competing in races. And very quickly, I realized it's not what I wanted to do. Very, very quickly, after many years of working super, super hard for it. So it sounds to me like you have some sort of mental process or some sort of framework for just testing things out, just going with the flow and testing things on a smaller scale before just really committing to something that you think you want. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I find that there's always like a minimum viable product that I can go out and test. And let's say there's something that I want. Another big tool that I find that I use is, I don't necessarily understand or go clear on, okay, if this is what I want, how do I do it? I start with saying, okay, this is what I want. Who do I know that already has it? And so instead of going for the how, I go for the who, and I try to find someone that's at that place. And if it's someone, let's say I wanted to build a podcast, for example, then I'd be like, okay, who do I know that has a podcast? Understand what's the lifestyle? What does it take to build a podcast or to chase this goal and to build a following? Then I find the who, and I can have the conversation with the who will not only know the how, but can also give me a taste of what is the current lifestyle that they get to design by chasing this, and is this even something I want? And so that's kind of one of the ways that I would do a minimum viable product. And I apply this a lot, especially in the workplace, like the kind of projects I want to take on. But even in my life, like when I made the decision to come to Bali, I played like, how do I get there? No, I was like, who's there? And for me, that became a very easy decision to make, because I'm like, who's there? Potential customers, potential clients. Is my proximity to them going to bring more value than being close to my coworkers? And again, my lifestyle has been designed to be quite remote. I had already did the legwork to kind of detach myself from being there. And then I realized if I move to Bali, I can be there a couple of weeks and quickly find out when I connect with the who, if this is a how that I want to go through. And so far it's been amazing.
Yeah, well, it's just a really small commitment. Like you said, it's a quick 3-hour flight for pretty low cost to go test something that potentially could be, you know, the next 2 years of your life or the next entire stage of your life. And I know that happens to a lot of people in Bali. I mean, it happened to me. I planned on staying in Bali for 2 months and I've been here for a year. And I don't feel like living anywhere else. So, like, I just found my kind of tribe of people here, the best mix of entrepreneurs doing really cool stuff and people really into fitness and conscious community and everything like that. It's just where I feel like I can grow and thrive. And I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to be able to live here and to be able to take my income here and do what I do. And I think one thing that's really cool about what you do as well is you get to meet a lot of really interesting people. That's why I personally love to do podcasts. And you've interviewed some very interesting people when it comes to business and mindset and everything like that. Was that part of your intentional way that you've really crafted your life? Is that like why you got into this?
Well, here's an interesting thing that happened is I had a goal for career. My career goal, I had a vision that I just wanted to build a personal brand. I wanted to be able to connect with amazing people. I wanted to be able to generate income independently. And this was a bit of a wishy-washy vision that I had, but I had it documented in a book. And then what happened is I ended up drafting annual goals based on what I wanted in my career. And I remember beginning 2019. And at the beginning, I just started defining what was it going to be a major goal I wanted to accomplish in 2019. And what I did is I just said, I'm going to work on developing my personal brand. That was the annual goal. I didn't really know, again, the how. I didn't even know the what. I just know I want to build that personal brand. And the why was very simple. I was like, I understand that the more like brand power you command, the more freedom that you can generate, because you can have a captive audience, you can have people that are really going to be able to, you can steer them in the direction you want, maybe for income purposes, connection purposes, but it just makes you be a higher value individual in the marketplace of ideas or of people, of jobs, consultant, doesn't matter what you do. I understood that personal brand is a very important thing that I can develop. Where do you start? What do I do? I had no clue, but I set it as a goal. And then what happened is I started just really paying attention to the things that were coming up, and I didn't know what they were going to be. The first thing that started happening is I got invited to speak at events, so I spoke. People were asking me to be a guest on their podcast, so I did. I started even refining a bit more of the framework of the things I like to talk about, which is sales. So I started developing my own framework around sales, and it got a little bit more developed. And then what happened is I was doing already these interviews of guests on a video format, and people were coming to me saying, hey, you're really good at interviewing. You're a very good host. You're asking great questions. You should keep doing more of that. So I was like, okay, this could be an element of my personal brand. Maybe this is the direction, but I'm not sure yet. And then suddenly I'm having a meeting with my boss, and he's just like, I think you're doing so good at hosting. We want you to launch a podcast, and we'll fully support it and back it. I'm like, okay, that sounds like something we could do. And so now I just started launching the podcast, and it started doing amazing, and people are complimenting on my hosting skills. And I don't think I would have been able to say, absolutely, I want to do it, if I didn't have my radar knowing that I wanted to develop the personal brand. So when the opportunity came, I could immediately jump on it because I knew it was part of my goals. And then even further, there's some fuzzy that comes, and it's so weird. The universe, like, again, I don't want to go too woo-woo, but still, like, random little things starts happening. But because you set the goal, you pay attention. I have two of my friends, Gavin and Colton. I had moved to Miami last year, and I went to live 5 months there. And then I just moved there, and these guys are like, hey, we're coming to Miami because we have to meet a client. And I'm like, great, I'll get you a room in the same place that I'm staying. So they end up staying with me, and one of them says, hey, if you're launching your personal brand, you know what you should do? You should write a book. That's the one thing. And if I didn't have a goal about building my personal brand, that would have been just another person giving me an opinion, which happens all the time. But for some reason, it stuck. And I'm like, wow, write a book. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. And then there's a gentleman that writes to me, which I was already getting the guests that they were publishing books of on a podcast for Mindvalley. And I'm like, hey, Zach, tell me more about how you actually help authors self-publish. And he puts me on a call with a salesperson, and then I end up investing in myself to write my book. Now I'm on the way to write my book to be out in December 2020. And all that came, and you could say, yeah, these are just coincidences, but honestly, to me, I had set a very vague goal, develop the personal brand. Then all these things started coming into my life that could be like, you could do this, you could do that, which one feels good, which one doesn't feel good, start going down the rabbit hole. And now my 2020 goal has been updated. It's not about building the personal brand, it's write the book and develop the podcast. And so my goal got more specific, not because I needed to go and get a specific goal. I started with a very vague goal. And in the pursuit of that vague goal, I got specificity. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but that's definitely the progress that I do, is I will start with a bold, random, gross looking goal. I will pursue things that will get me closer to it. And that gives me the clarity to start doing more very technical goals that are very specific, that I will only discover if I had chased the bigger, vaguer one first. Does that make sense?
See, I absolutely love that, because that taps into some of the more like woo-woo manifestation stuff out there. And to be totally clear, I am very woo-woo, and I am very along the lines of manifestation, and I really believe in that stuff. And I've seen a lot of evidence to support it in my own life. But what you just explained is almost taking something from the school of thought of the woo-woo manifestation thing and explaining it in just very logical terms that I think everyone can really relate to in some level. So I'm wondering for you, like, where are you on that line of like all the way woo-woo sitting in the Himalayas alone for the next 10 years and someone who is a complete non-believer in manifestation?
Yeah, I'm a very... That's a trick question because I feel like I have a duality. And you might be relating to this as well, but I consider myself someone very technical, very pragmatic, and where the woo-woo just doesn't seem to make sense with my type of personality. But I'm super woo-woo at the same time. And I can often find a technical way to explain the woo-woo-ness. Like, for example, with this whole goal setting, it's the same. The example that I always hear somebody on stage say is like, okay, let's say there's a bunch of cars on the street. They've always been there. And then suddenly you buy a Corolla or you buy, you know, a pickup truck. Now you start seeing the same car everywhere on the street. Why? Well, you just bought it. Those cars didn't magically appear. Basically, you now pay attention because it's something that you have an emotion to it, right? So now that you've emotionally attached something, you've actually start noticing it a lot more. And so even if you talk about the woo-woo terms of like manifestation, vision boarding, you know, see the vision of what you want to create. Yeah, you're literally attaching an emotion to a particular outcome. And now anything that gets you closer to those outcomes, you'll start noticing more. And so that will be where my justification, my rational Jason comes in. But then, you know, I've done a 10-day Vipassana, which is basically going into meditation for 10 days. Why? Because I'm too much in my head sometimes. And when I get out of my own way, there's a lot of new things that come up. So I will do that. I've studied the chakra system. I'm reading a book called A Course in Miracles, which is the most woo-woo, borderline, hardcore, religious, Bible-looking book that's all about understanding the illusions of life and how you need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. I like that balance. And what happens is, when I read the more woo-woo, it kind of breaks apart my linear thinking. My rational mind looks at the past and sees a path of progress for the future. But when I go into the woo-woo, it kind of breaks the ceiling of potential. And now I can start realizing I don't need to progress, I can break through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I really love that we're talking about this too, because I know a lot of people out there, they just discard it all as complete garbage. And I mean, living in Bali, we're just surrounded by a much more spiritual crowd of people. Do you have any recommendations for someone who hasn't really read a lot of literature on manifestation or some of the more spiritual things? Are there any books or resources that really have had an impact on you when it comes to that?
There's a few, and it's hard for me to recommend because I don't know where somebody is on this spectrum, right? I think the easiest one to kind of get started with, especially someone that's very hardcore, is a classic, which is a Napoleon Hill book, which is Think and Grow Rich. It's a very old book, but the principles in there are still very relevant. And I think for someone who's definitely like entrepreneurial minded, kind of hustle mentality, that's one that gets people really to dip their feet. I mean, that was one of my first books that I'm like, oh, what is this ideas around mindset and law of attraction and possibly even like crazy ideas like sexual transmutation that gets people being like, oh, wait, you said something sexual. Now they pay attention. So if you've never learned personal growth, Think and Grow Rich with Napoleon Hill. There is a chapter on sex. If anything is something that will get you to dip your feet into personal growth, then go and pick up that book. And once you've started kind of drinking the Kool-Aid, then you can go a little deeper. But I think another thing I would recommend for people, not necessarily a book, is really a meditation. Meditation is tough, to be honest. Like, I feel like people are like, oh, I don't want to waste my time. They're too much into the doing mind. And I'm one of these people. And what I first discovered meditation was in 2013. And it was actually a 6-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. And it's not a meditation. Like meditation being like being in silence with your thoughts. This one, it's like it prompts you to start thinking about a bunch of things. From connection, gratitude, forgiveness, future vision, perfect day, and blessings. Like it takes you through those 6 phases. And I think that's a really good thing for someone that's very science minded, where it's like, I don't know if I'm really clearing my mind. I'm feeling uncomfortable with this. This meditation continues to prompt you into thinking more, but it'll get you to focus on the right things. And then after doing it for 2 weeks, you'll be like, wait, how did all these things start happening? And it's pretty beautiful.
Yeah. And one thing as well is, from the looks of it, you have a really great relationship with your current girlfriend. And I mean, she is very beautiful for those looking on the podcast. She was just in here before. She's very fit and into yoga and all that kind of stuff. Like probably the ideal partner for a lot of guys that are listening, right? Did you apply these principles to attracting your dream partner, the partner that you want to be around?
Yeah, actually, this is a very interesting story because I found myself wanting to stay single after a breakup for at least a year. And I finished that year. It was 2018 was the year that I said I was going to stay single. And again, with the beginning of 2019, another goal that I had written down was in my relationship category. And what I had as my goals for 2018 was all around self-love. It was all around like if I want to attract someone in my life, I need to work on the self-love. I need to work on getting out of victim mentality. I need to understand that, you know, this is really what I need to work on to open to anybody else to come into my life. And I started doing that. I worked a lot on my own character, my emotions, and my spiritual side. Like, all of these were things that brought me to a place of self-acceptance, of understanding, and really nurture that self-love. But I did something funny at the beginning of 2019. I added just one line in my strategies, because all my visions of a partner was things such as, like, we consider ourselves like best friends, we have an intense sexual life, we have three entities, the me, the her, and the us. Not in the past where I kind of let the us consume the me and the you. And so I really see it as a trinity. So I mapped out all my visions around these things. And then I added one strategy. And that strategy was stay open to moments of love. And the way that I ended up meeting her, I was following her on Instagram. Like, she was a model, super, like, ridiculously hot. I didn't even think she was in my league. And out of a strange coincidence, I had some friends who were like, hey, you're really good at organizing community event and you like doing Spartan races, so you should maybe organize a group hike. And I remember her saying that she was into hiking. And so I ended up sending a voice note on Instagram just saying like, hey, I know we haven't connected before, but you obviously have a great following. You're based here in Malaysia. And I think we should really try to bring you to come to our hike event that I'm trying to organize. Because if you're trying to organize an event, if you get amazing, like, great women to come, then the men will naturally come. That's been my philosophy.
The oldest strategy in the world.
Works. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel here. So I sent her that voice note, and for her, for some reason, like, she gets a ton of people messaging her all the time, but it was the first time someone sent a voice note. And she's like, wow, this person's interesting. For some reason, she immediately felt an attraction, and she's like, hey, let's just meet. I can't make it to the hike, but I'd like to meet you. And I'm like, wow, she wants to meet. This is great. We go bouldering, and it was kind of an intense meeting from that moment. And that was about a year ago. From the moment we met, we started dating. It's been over a year now. And it was fascinating to see the type of relationship that I manifested, because I looked at my other categories, my other goals, especially when it comes to, like, emotional life. And one thing that I've mapped out as what makes a fulfilling life is living a massive range of emotions. I'm like, your life is all about the ups, the downs, the whole sauce of it, you know? You have to have acceptance and understand that this is part of the human adventure. And now, by attracting this partner, which ends up being someone that's very much on the opposite spectrum of what I traditionally am. She's Brazilian, I'm Canadian. Canadians are naturally very emotionally limited, or at least in a narrow spectrum of up and down. And for her, she is extremely fiery. And so what did I end up creating? A relationship with someone that pushes me to live the most extreme spectrums of passions, as well as intense, like, despair, loss, all of it. Like, I wouldn't say that our relationship is just a very normal, steady one. It's one of intensity, ups and downs, and it's just been a beautiful experience. Easy at all times? Absolutely not. Beautiful moments, then, you know, heartbreaking moments, but then at the same time, it just makes it such an interesting, juicy relationship, and I realized that is exactly what I was looking to manifest.
Yeah, well, I think, honestly, some of the harder relationships are the ones that are too comfortable, that where you, no one really wants to poke the bear, and then everyone's sitting on these silent resentments, right? It's like, I'm sure some people listening can relate to this. You and your partner are just, you know, you're comfortable, but you're not voicing the things that annoy you, and therefore you're probably constantly annoying each other on some level, or you're annoying them and you don't even know it because they're not going to tell you. And in a lot of ways, that's way more difficult than actually having really open, honest communication, where sometimes the flames get a little bit out of control, but that's what actually brings you closer together and is authentic, right?
And I'd have to say, like, for me, I'm the one who needed to learn a lot. Like, here's the thing, I'm the one who's more about the silence, and then I have the hidden resentment. But the problem is I also think I'm always right. And so now I have someone that's very open to communicate their feelings, which is making me learn that, hey, I'm not always right. We just have different perspective. There's a lot to be learned, and I'm actually working on communicating better, which is actually something I want to take responsibility on. And what's interesting is there are times that I do self-assessments against the vision, and I realize that all the things that would necessarily frustrate me whenever we were in an argument in the relationship, I look at, okay, what are all the things that I wanted? And then which are the ones that I'm not living a 10 out of 10 for? What are the things I'm responsible for? Even though I'm right, I'm always right, but I won't tell people, but then you're not. When you do the assessment, you realize when you take so much responsibility, the only thing you're left with is massive growth. And I have to be thankful to my partner because sometimes she thinks in ways I can't understand because I'm very logical. And for her, she gets more intuitive impulses. And I think that's a lot of the complementary feminine energy she brings to the relationship. That if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have taken a leap and went to Miami living for 5 months. I wouldn't have made the leap to come here to Bali so aggressively. And so understanding that you and your partner are very different and you both think that you're right, you have different perspectives, just makes it so that when you take responsibility for the reasons you do have an argument, you can always come back stronger without the resentment. And this is a learning journey for me.
And I'm interested to hear, like, what do you think, if you could put it into, like, ingredients in a killer relationship soup, What do you think are, like, the core key ingredients that if you really keep these things consciously in the top of your mind, then you're going to develop a really great relationship with your partner?
So I would say, for one, integrity, like just being extremely honest. And that means even the things you withhold to tell. So you need to be able to speak the truth as much as possible and not withhold. Because here's one thing I've learned that I really had issues with is I'm a salesperson, which means I've always found myself being in a position where I like to control the conversation to get to an objective. And what I realize in a relationship is that when you start doing that, you're actually manipulating your partner. And I would withhold certain truth because I'd be like, I won't say that because I don't want her to be offended or something. But I realized that the reason she would be offended is because I withhold the truth. So you have to step into integrity. And integrity and truth outrank comfort. If comfort is higher than integrity, that's when you start doing the types of actions that will not help the relationship grow. It'll actually hold it back. So you need to step into that. I also think respect, like, you have to have respect. And when you have respect, it's really about understanding what are the things that you need to communicate without looking down at your partner. There are times you can look at perspectives differently, but never position your partner as being lower than you because they have a different perspective. Respect being that you treat yourselves as equal. And again, I can only speak to my space. And for me, there are times that I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm in this particular area where we have a conflict, I feel that I am right, and thus I feel that I am better than my partner. And my language and communication will be felt by my partner, and then of course we'll get defensive because they realize they're not being respected. And again, that is my own responsibility. And then the third thing I would say, which is one I'm actually learning a lot about now, which is boundaries. I'm reading a book on boundaries and understanding how boundaries are so important, not because you're trying to limit or take people away in your life, but you're understanding what are your no's, what are your yeses, and you're being clear on how you communicate them, not assuming the other person knows what you're talking about. And I feel that when you sharpen your boundaries, then you actually have some clear roles about the you, the them, and the us. And when you do that, the triangle of the relationship is extremely more powerful, because I naturally fall into being the us is the only thing. And when I start building stronger boundaries, then I can know this is the me and that's what's important to me. You have your you and you can have that. And then the us is also strong. And if one of those pillars is weak, it can make the whole relationship crumble. So I have to say those are the three things that come to mind now.
Yeah, I think that's really elegantly put. And like for myself personally, it's only really been the past couple of years where I've really been consciously focused on these things and really consciously building my relationships in the way that I want to do them. And those, especially want to echo what you said about just honest, open communication and setting boundaries and just being really clear about those things. And you have to have both, right? You have to have the honest, open communication to communicate those boundaries. Sometimes that's not easy. And a big learning lesson for me was sometimes you don't even know you have those boundaries until you know, right? You have no idea you have this boundary until something happens and then you feel triggered in a certain way or you feel a certain way about it. And then now you know you have that boundary and you have to communicate that. But that's impossible if you don't have that type of relationship where you can be fully honest with your partner, where you can have a conversation with them and say something to them that's probably going to make them very angry or make them really upset with you. If you don't hold yourself to that standard of honesty and transparency and expression of yourself, then I think it's not really possible to reach that next level of relationship where you can really have that connection with your partner.
I agree. And you know, for me, I'm not coming here as a guru that has all the answer. I'm coming as a student who's just noticing the patterns that are seeming to work. And so I think, you know, even as you introduce this, it's like, wow, you look like you have the perfect relationship. It's like, yeah, I get to date an incredible human being, but the journey of building a partnership is not all sunshines and rainbows. And that's a bit of a delusion that people might have of what a relationship is supposed to be. I know I've had that delusion where I'm like, wow, oh my God, we had a fight. Maybe we're not meant to be together. Everything's supposed to be beautiful and sunshines and rainbows. Where's the unicorn? The unicorn's angry. I don't want angry unicorns. I want happy unicorns. And I'm like, no, be real. Life, if you're growing, you're on the right path. That's what I'm always reminding myself. Even in the times that I'm most frustrated, I'll look back and I'm like, is this allowing me to grow? If the answer is yes, because I have set that up as a number one vision and belief I have in a relationship, is that the person that you're with is a partner in your growth. And so I manifested everything about the kind of partner that I brought into my life, and I'm extremely grateful for that. But when you asked me if I was intentional, when I said growth is the first parameter, then I brought the exact perfect partner for me.
And that's a very beautiful thing. And Jason, what is next for you? I mean, you're obviously, you have a lot of new things on your plate, recently moved to Bali and just seeing where that goes. What is the vision for the next foreseeable future? However far ahead in the future you actually do set a concrete plan, what do you plan to manifest, to bring into your life?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, I'm working on my book to be out at the end of this year. And that book is the one thing to continue supporting the whole personal brand initiative, which was the ultimate goal. So with the book comes the online course. It comes with a consulting business. All of the methodology gets mapped out. And so I already foresee how the book is the one thing that drives everything else around the business of the personal brand to be a success. The podcast keeps growing and I keep working on that. So these are the big things I'm doing on the career side. And this is alongside Mindvalley, who's my employer. And as I look into my personal life, it's very interesting. I'm going to be here in Bali until at least June of 2020. And so that's a couple months out. And we're still in the process of testing the waters. But like you said, you came for a couple months, stayed a couple of years. Maybe I want to build, like I'm already seeing a sense of like, wow, should I be building a retreat center in Bali? What are the implications of actually doing work in Bali? I don't know, but I'm starting to go into that direction, see if this is going to be a future thing to be working on. Maybe move to Europe. I'm seeing a lot of people are going there. But I've noticed that because one of my values in my personal life and quality of life is freedom, then I'm able to make these changes to do these tests and not feel like I need to stay anywhere. I can be free to go anywhere. And so even all these business initiatives that I'm working on, freedom seems to be a value that always comes back as the grounding force that makes me make those decisions. Because if I'm doing anything that makes me permanent to a place, I feel like my freedom is compromised. And so that's what I'm really juggling with. And right now I'm feeling very free and very focused on these mega tasks on the workplace until the end of the year. And when that's in place, I think it's just going to be a question of scaling it.
That's epic, man. Well, it certainly seems like you're having a good time at the moment here in Bali, and it's hard to complain to you. Like you said, I've been stuck here for a year now, didn't plan on coming here for a year, and honestly, I can't think of a better place to base myself. So, man, this has been a really epic episode. Really enjoyed diving into all the different places that we did. If people want to check you out online, where's the best place for them to do so? Your podcast and other places?
If you're interested in the podcast, it's Superhumans at Work by Mindvalley. I'm personally on all the social media channels. My name is Jason Mark Campbell. Mark is with a C. So if you look for Jason, the @ Jason Mark Campbell, you can definitely find me on Instagram. I think that's an easy place. You can send me a direct message. Let me know if you like this episode. And if you need any advice, both on the business, designing a remote work or relationship, just anything, hit me up and I'd be happy to help.
Excellent. And currently he is taken, so if you're going to slide into his DMs the same way that he slid into his girlfriend's DMs, not going to happen at the moment, but I'm sure he'd be happy to do other things. Well, thank you, man.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Really love diving into this. And guys, if you're looking for any of the show notes, that will be on dannycarlson.co, And if you haven't already, go leave a review. Really appreciate that on iTunes, on Stitcher. It is, if you are an Amazon seller or something in e-commerce space, you guys know how much reviews really matter. So really appreciate it, guys. Until next time, go and kick some ass.
Thanks for joining us on the Danny Carlson Podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit dannycarlson.co.